Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to today's broadcast. This is episode 72 and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre, here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we'd like to invite you to study with us this morning. If you're listening live, make sure to have your Bible, a pen, and paper ready for today's word. But before we get started, Rabbi, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Yes, sir. I'd love to. Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, first of all, giving you the praise, giving you the honor. Each day you ask us to praise you, to glorify you, and to exalt your name. So we do that. In doing that, Father, we thank you for forgiving us of sin, iniquity, and transgression. We thank you, Father God, that you give us the strength to forgive ourselves and to forgive others. We thank you, Father, that you also fulfill the absolute understanding of what Exodus chapter 34, verse 7 says, with the fathers all the way to the third and the fourth generation on both sides of our family. Father, we thank you that you cleanse by the blood of Yeshua, that you wipe clean the slate so that there's no negative ancestral transfers that can come down and affect us, and more importantly, to affect our lineage from us beyond. We thank you for that. We glorify you, Father. We ask that you give us an understanding of your word, an understanding of your truth, an understanding of what we are to do in these last days. We understand that they're perilous times. We understand that you give us the strength to enable us to fulfill the will and the purposes that you have for us. But, Father, we also need to make sure that we hear your voice clearly, your instructions precisely, so that everything we do is in lockstep with what your word says that it will do for us and with us. And with that, we give you praise, we give you honor and glory in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Pastor Andre, I'll pass it back to you.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we're going to go to Pastor Doug with his before Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, yitzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments, and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen, amen. Well, Rabbi, last week we had an excellent conversation, and I entitled it The Recipe for Overcoming. So this is episode 71 from last week. And we started off with Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And we were talking about how we have to get to the place where we don't love the world, that we're not loving the things of the world, nor our lives. The world has to get to a place where we have to get to a place where the world is not lodged in us. And because when it's lodged in us, we are enticed and then we're drawn away by lust, and we're drawn away by anything that will compromise our relationship with Yah. And so we have to make sure that we are daily pruning, purging ourselves of the things that are our vices, the things that have become beaten paths that we are habitually making for ourselves. We have to make sure that we're going down the path that Yah has ordered for us. There's so many scriptures that talk about Him ordering our steps, making our path straight, flattening the obstacles ahead of us. And so that's really what we have to get to the place to do. It doesn't mean it's easy, but we have to begin to change our ways, so to speak. And we have to realize that there's a high cost. There's a high bar for being a disciple, and more importantly, being a bride of Messiah. Not everyone that starts this walk becomes a bride. And we can't love anything more than Him, more than Jesus. We must count the cost. Not just a crucifixion daily, but a crucifixion permanently, was one of the quotes I wrote down from you, Rabbi, last week. In other words, it's not just a momentarily a significant emotional event with Jesus. It's something that needs to be happening on a regular basis. The cost is everything. all of me, all of you, all of us. The old must die, the new must live forever with him. And this is such a wonderful time for us to discuss this as we're entering into, as we've entered into the seventh month, the biblical month, and the feasts. This is a time for us to purge ourselves as we head towards the biblical Day of Atonement, which happens next Thursday. So this broadcast is our week out. One of the things we also discussed as we are daily reminded of being in the end times and being in perilous times, we talked about Daniel chapter 7, verses 21 through 25, and Revelation chapter 13. Now, in both of these scriptures, these passages, there's a picture, depiction of the fourth beast. And the fourth beast is, of course, number four of four that Daniel describes, and also we see in John describing in Revelation. But what's different about this beast than all the other beasts, each of them represent kingdoms that have taken place in this world. But this fourth beast is different because it conquers the whole world. And we're seeing a time where not just one nation is affected in this tumultuous time, but all nations are going through a tumultuous time at this point. And it's because there's groundbreaking, there is movement that's trying to happen to cause all of the world, all the nations of the earth, to come under the same kingdom. The fourth beast, as is talked about, will give the Antichrist the greatest victory for a time. We also talked about 10 kings, high-ranking officials over 10 regions of the earth. This is all depicted by Daniel, and also in part in the Revelation scripture by John. There will be a period of time where there's no buying or selling without the mark of this beast. Both great and small, rich and poor, every man will be affected by this kingdom. The New World Order and the Great Reset pales in comparison to the greatest reset, however, that is coming when this world is renewed by Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. The Great Reset is a counterfeit. It's the world and the way of this world, the thinking of this world. It's the adversary's best plan to try to preempt or to get rid of Yah's greatest plan. But Yah's greatest reset is coming, and it starts with each and every one of us. So this is, again, that call for and the recipe for overcoming, the call for endurance and perseverance. With all that said, you know, you can talk about a lot of these different, quote-unquote, government changes and all these different things that sound quite, at times, intimidating, maybe scary. But we have to remind ourselves, what is the reality? What is the real situation on the ground? We have a reminder and a promise from Jesus himself in Revelation chapter 3, specifically in verse 10, where he's speaking to the Philadelphia church. And he says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to them that dwell upon the earth. So there's a direct promise. He's saying, because you've kept my patience, and he often, and throughout the book of Revelation, couples it with patient endurance. But because of that patience, that faithfulness, the keeping of the covenant, keeping of the wedding contract, the marriage contract, the ketubah, because of that perseverance in that, it will keep the Philadelphia church, those that qualify in that description, from the temptation that's coming upon the whole earth. So that is one of the scriptures we have as a promise for the bride being raptured before the wrath. Because the bride was not destined for wrath, as we learn in 1 Thessalonians, both in chapter 1 and also in chapter 5. And we've talked about that in great detail. One of the other things that we have throughout the scriptures that is a promise is the picture of how even in the midst of trial and temptation, tribulation, Yeshua was there. Yeshua was in the midst. Yeshua was present. And at times it looks like the pain was resolved by his presence. We have the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel in the first couple chapters. We see what appeared, and this was from the king's mouth himself, what appeared like the Son of God, or son of the angels, Son of God, in the midst with those Hebrew boys. They saw someone else there, and they, of course, were not burned. Their clothing was not burned. They were unscathed. We see depictions and hear depictions throughout history of the saints being thrown to lions as if they weren't even afraid. And we see even Stephen As he was being stoned, he saw Yeshua sitting at the right hand of the Father, and his focus was on Yeshua and not on what was happening to him. And it sounds as if there was no there's no turmoil in him, in the sense of pain. But he was more concerned about what was happening or what would happen to those around him. So we see in every situation, throughout many, and there's others, Yeshua in the midst being a comfort to those going through various trials. But one of the things that we have to focus on now, and this is one of the last points we had, was we need to start rejoicing over our own transformation. In other words, as we're seeing ourselves be transformed and becoming less like the world, that is something to rejoice in. Because, you know, that's part of the whole count it all joy when you go through various trials. Why? Because it's perfecting our character. It's perfecting who we are. And so there is something to, there is fruit that we get, have, should, and must get excited about. Because that propels us to want to continue to do the same. We're seeing, yes, we are being changed, and we are moving towards the hope. We're moving towards the promise. We're moving towards the prize, the goal. Not that we're just solely focused on the goal, but more so we're focused on the eternity. And too often we're limited in scope by what's here and now, rather than looking at eternity. But as we rejoice in our transformation process, this is actually what is described as the bride making herself ready. And we must get to that place. So, Rabbi, that's where we kind of concluded. We did talk about a couple other scriptures, but the main point here was the recipe for overcoming. And so, Rabbi, I'll pass it back to you today as we continue and move on to our next topic.
Amen, but that was really an excellent overview, so thank you very much, sir, for that. We're looking at a recipe, and of course, with any recipe, there are ingredients, and those ingredients are extremely important. To the quality of the ingredients is important, but also the manner in which the ingredients are mixed in I want to say, like, if you're making a cake or whatever the dish is, but the ingredients and the way that the ingredients are mixed in that dish in order for that dish to be pristine is extremely important. With that being said, let's go to Revelations, but let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. Romans chapter 21. I'm going to read that in the King James and also in the Amplified. This is the recipe as an overcomer. But what's beautiful about Romans chapter 12, and might want to circle that whole chapter because we're going to go through that whole chapter also. But what you're going to see is within that is the ingredients for that recipe that we all need to be walking in and living in and thriving in. No one is exempt. I know normally it's the individuals that are teaching it and that are ministering it that have the most difficult time, because the pressure of the demonic realm is stronger against them than it is against the congregants. So please understand, just because we're sharing this doesn't mean that we, by any means, by any stretch of the imagination, are we exempt. The pressures are serious. They're attacks against us, against our mind, our will, and our emotions, against our very soul. In this together. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Starting with King James, it says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And in the Amplified version, it says it like this: "Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome, master evil with good."
So it's the working of this good that Paul is talking to the Romans about, the congregants in Rome, that is the main recipe, not only for their day and their time during their persecution, but during our own perilous times. So let's begin to look at, and we'll go ahead and I'll allow you to just read the whole passage first, and then we'll go back and take some smaller bite sizes and begin to dissect those. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 all the way to 20, gives us what this good is. It gives us the description of the definition of what Paul is referring to, that God is referring to. Yah is referring to, pertaining to what is good that we must be doing in order to be this overcomer and to have the victory over evil.
Amen. Romans chapter 12, King James Version, starting with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing with to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and not curse. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consider, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And again, verse 21. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Would you like me to continue with the Amplified?
Yes, sir, if you would, please.
Sure. We'll go right back to the top, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, now in the Amplified version. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beggeth you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. For by the grace, unmerited favor of God, given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. Verse 4. For as in one physical body we have many parts, organs, or members, and all of these parts do not have the same functional use, so we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah. And individually, we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on one another. Verse 6, having gifts, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the portion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts or encourages, to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends, with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy, with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Verse 9, let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. But hold fast to that which is good. Verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Verse 13, contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in their attitude towards you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weep with those who mourn or weep, sharing others' grief. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, snobbish, high-minded, or exclusive, but readily adjust yourself to people and things and give yourselves to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought of what is honest and proper and noble, aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome, master evil with good. Rabbi, back to you.
I'm sure that was a mouthful. But what we need to look at is this recipe is exactly what Peter was talking about as well. When he was referring to and building up those with his epistle, pertaining to never falling, never finding yourself slipping, always being able to walk righteously and holy as we ought to walk. Now, I'm sure some of you, and I know for me, and I can speak for myself, there were quite a few challenges in this list. And as I began to look at it, I'm like, oh, I need to repent of that one, and I need to really work on that one, and ouch, that hurts, because, you know, you're blessing an individual who has no intentions or desire to be a blessing to you, if any, desires to be a harm and a hurt to you and to your family. And so what this does is this puts in perspective what your goals are. Are they heavenly or are they earthly? With the understanding of, can I trust the Lord to defend me, Psalms 91, to protect me, and to keep me, as his word states, that he will keep me. This is what is at stake here. Now, when we couple this with Revelations, and like I said, we were going to go back to Revelations. Revelations 12, 11. And I really want us to focus on the B part, but we'll read the A and the B, but I really want us to focus on the B part in light of Romans 12. That's Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. We've covered it before, but I want you to see it within the scope of this passage, or this chapter and passage of scriptures that we just read. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Go ahead, sir.
All right. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and they overcame the Antichrist, that is, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And for the Amplified, and they overcame, conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb, and by the utterance of their testimony, for they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death, holding their lives cheap till they had to die for their witnessing.
Holding their lives cheap. Holding their lives cheap. Holding their lives as their reasonable service. Now, I'm going to be totally transparent with you and let you know I am totally not there yet. But this is where we've got to be. So the temptations and the trials and all of those things that happen that James is talking about is so that we can achieve this final goal. Holding our lives and the things that we possess cheap when it comes to fulfilling God's purpose on this earth. Your thoughts on that, Pastor Andre, before we go any further?
Yeah, I agree. I am not there yet either. What this is to me is going back to, like you mentioned, the ingredients of this overcoming recipe. And what I see here is that they have mastered the dying daily, or that, as we talked about in the intro, that crucifixion for once and for all. They've gotten to the place where it's like their life doesn't matter. There's no world in them. And this is exactly what we saw with Yeshua right before he went to the cross. And everything about his life was a demonstration for us. And it's just getting that life in us that has been, or that is a struggle for so many of us. But what is encouraging is that we do have an end. We do have a picture that it is obtainable. It is not impossible. And so with that in mind, we can't give up, knowing that, one, he gave his Holy Spirit to enable us to get to the place where we can walk out this and get to the place, like it says in Galatians, I believe it's chapter 5, that is no longer I who live, but Messiah who lives in me. That is a big ingredient for this overcoming and a big place that we need to get to in our walk.
I totally agree with that. And there's a passage in Matthew chapter 26, and around verse 40, 41, 42, in that area, where Yeshua was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was still going through struggle with his flesh in order to maintain the character and the maturity that the Father was desiring of all of us. When he was talking to his disciples, especially his three, he asked them to pray with him because his soul was very, very distraught, even unto death. Because his mind, will, and emotions were not in their proper alignment and submission to the will and the purpose of God for his life. I don't care who you are. Whenever that is out of alignment, you have tremendous turbulence, tremendous persecution, tremendous just demonic activity getting in and running havoc with it, with you, with us. And that's what Yeshua was having to fight. He was having to fight the old man's will and desire versus the purpose and the word that was given over him and spoken over him. That's a part of that war shift that we've been talking about in on Saturday services. That's not something that you'll ever finish and not have to be concerned about anymore. Because the moment that you think that you've got all of you, the old you, taken care of, will be the very moment that there'll be something else in the closet, something else in the cubby that you did not go and check and clean.
Mm-hmm.
And it will start to manifest. It will start to cause havoc. Mm-hmm. Going back to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12,
sure,
one of the very first things, and this is something I know for me, and maybe for some of you, but for me, one of the very first things that it says is you have to have a lifestyle of fasting. And that can be very difficult for those who really enjoy eating, like myself. But if you don't fast, Yeshua speaks to his disciples pertaining to a demon that they couldn't, that was in a young boy that they could not cast out. And they were trying to figure out, why is it with all of the anointing that you've given us, Yeshua, that we were unable to cast this demon out? And Yeshua let them know that some like this is not just prayer and the anointing, but also fasting. In other words, you have to be purged. You have to be so purged and cleansed that, like a mustard seed, the purity of the faith that is necessary in order to deal with the demonic realm can be accessed. They lacked access of all of the faith that they had been given. And that's because of the lack of a lifestyle of fasting. Not just fasting once or twice, but it's a lifestyle. Yeshua had a lifestyle. You can see through his messianic walk that he had a lifestyle of fasting. Not just a 40-day fast and then, okay, I'm good, I can, you know, eat whatever I want, let's just go ahead and win one for Yahuwah. No. It was a lifestyle. Even the rabbis had a lifestyle of fasting twice in a week. And then, of course, if there were areas in their lives that they needed a breakthrough, they would fast for longer than that. That is the very first button that Paul speaks about, that he talks about. The fasting breaks the power and the control of the demonic realm over our lives. And the fasting keeps that from ever being built up again. That's why it's so important to fast. In doing so, it keeps an open portal and an open relationship with Yah and with Yeshua and with the Holy Spirit, so that we become the fit man that's talked about in the Old Testament. There has to be a fit man to deal with sin, iniquity, and transgression of others. Not just of yourself, but of others. When you start to minister and you start to evangelize and you start to witness and you start to testify about this wonderful Hebraic gospel, then those demonic realm will begin to try to attack you and your family. They're not going to just sit willy-nilly and allow you to just take over and just win souls and do all these wonderful things. No, they will come at you. Because they enjoy their authority that was stolen from Adam in the garden. They enjoy it. And they don't want to lose it or to let go of it. So we have to understand that this is an essential tool in the battle. Because without it, the scripture is very clear in verse 2. Without the fasting, you and I cannot present our bodies holy. Sin, iniquity, and transgression without fulfilling its desires with us and in us. We need to understand that. Genesis chapter 4, and I want to say verse 7. If you could read that, that's pertaining to Cain and the instructions that the Heavenly Father gave to Cain pertaining to sin wanting to have rule over us and over our body, because it doesn't have a body to enact its desires. But our call and our purpose is to rule over it. Go ahead and read that if you would. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7.
All right. It says here in the King James, I've amplified. Let me switch back here. My apologies. Okay, King James. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now for the Amplified. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it.
We must master it. That's a part of our purpose. That's a part of our call. Your thoughts on that, Pastor Andre?
Well, this verse came to mind when we finished Romans 12, verse 21. The wording that they used in the Amplified was spot on. But the mastering evil, I think too often we think that we're supposed to never, I guess we act like we're supposed to never be tempted or never have to interact with be near sin. Let me explain what I'm saying. I know it's kind of odd. This aspect of mastering, it means that you have to have engage with it and be presented with it in order to subdue it. And I think sometimes just the fact that we have a temptation, we feel like we've sinned. But no, the temptation, sin happens when you engage in or participate with it. It's one thing to be tempted, but we are to sin not. So I really like this picture of mastering evil with good, like it says in Romans 21, but also mastering sin by having dominion over it, like putting your foot on its head and saying, you know what, you do not control me. And I think that's when we get to this place where we can say we can master evil with good and master sin. And how do we master sin? We master it by doing what is right. So in every situation where we're presented with a temptation, we're supposed to win by doing the right thing, not the wrong thing.
Amen. And what we don't understand sometimes, Pastor Andre, is in mastering it, that's a tremendous amount of practice, a tremendous mm-hmm. amount of failure, a tremendous amount of missing the mark. But with your intent is not to give up. Your intent is to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between King David and King Saul. Saul gave in to the temptation, whereas King David kept aspiring. As many times as he failed, he kept aspiring to overcome. He kept aspiring to have and to hold and to maintain the heart of God. He became a master. Abraham, the same way, Abraham became a master of Torah. King David became a master of Torah, a master of the commands of God. You don't become a master by being perfect and doing everything perfectly. You become a master by overcoming all of the obstacles, failures, as you go through the journey. That's so important to understand, because too often we fail and we mess up and then we give up. And God is saying, don't ever give up. Don't ever allow that vocabulary, that attitude of I can't. Don't ever allow that to begin to happen. The talent, you remember the talents. One was given five, one was given like two or three, and the other one was given one. And the one that gave that had one, he gave up immediately. He didn't do what was asked of him by the master. And the father saying, that so displeases me. You're in a fight. You're in a war. The fiery darts are being fired at you. Don't just lay there and play dead. We need to understand that that is where we are. We're in that war zone. We have to use the weapons of our warfare. And then we have to battle. We have to have the mindset and the attitude of a warrior that's going to battle, that's going to battle the adversary, that's going to battle the situations and circumstances, regardless of regardless of how it causes us to hurt, to receive injury. We are in the battle zone. And because you're in the battle zone, you have to war. You have to battle. This is not the rest that the Father was speaking of in Genesis chapter 1. That is still yet to come. So until we get to that rest that he's talking about, we must continue to battle. It's so imperative that we understand that and that we know that we're going to get bruised, we're going to get dirty, we're going to suffer some injury, not all of us, but some of us will suffer some injuries. But that's a part of warfare. That's a part of battling. That's a part of winning. That's a part of the struggle. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, it talks about who our struggle and our warfare is with. Well, when you start dealing with the spiritual realm, you're going to affect them in a way to where they're going to try to attack you spiritually. That will affect you mentally, will affect you in a whole different sort of aspects of ways, so that you need to be prepared. You need to be built up in your inner man on a regular basis. That's a part of what we need to do. I remember the story pertaining to King David. He made some very, very bad decisions, so much so that all of his men had lost their wives and children. And they were in a cave so sorrowful that they were contemplating killing him. And the Spirit of the living God rose up in him, and he encouraged himself, not so much to where he was prepared to die. He encouraged himself so much that they were also encouraged. They also, that mindset of mutiny leaves them. And they got motivated. They got strengthened. And they all went back after the enemy and got all of their family and possessions back with more. But we got to understand that we've got to encourage ourselves. The Spirit of the living God will do that if you allow it. If I allow it, it will encourage me during the darkest, deepest, hole that you could ever spiritually find yourself in. It's emotional trauma to you and your family. God's word still lives. God's word cannot die. It can only revive and redeem. We've got to understand the power that resonates in deep inside of us through fasting, through getting the recipe right, so that we always bake the overcoming dish that God has called and is needing to have happen in these last hours. That's the only way it works. So we've got to work it properly. And we don't need to get upset and get downtrodden and get down on ourselves if it doesn't happen the first couple of times. We've got to make sure that we're making the proper adjustments that He is calling for, that the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to do, so that we hit the mark. That's a very, very important thing there. Because anyone can get downtrodden and get depressed and get down on themselves. But it's the overcomers that overcome those scenarios, learn from their mistakes, and then fulfill the purpose and the call that's on their life. Take the time to motivate and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to motivate you today. Begin to speak to your situation and your circumstance. Begin to speak to who God calls you to be, and begin to remind yourself who He sees you as. Not who you see yourself as, but who He sees you as. That's what King David did. Because he had definitely felt there was no doubt. But God began to speak through and in him to about who he was called to be. And in so doing, began to speak to who those men were called to be. And in so doing, they got more than what they lost. It's time for you to get more than what you've lost. It's time for all of us to get more. Those situations, even though you may have made a mistake, even though I may have made a mistake, speak to those situations. God's word still revives, it still redeems, it still overcomes. It still does it. Get in that battle. Go ahead and wield that battle axe skillfully. It takes time to learn how to do things skillfully. That's why warriors that are seasoned, meaning they've been through seasons of warfare and have learned to use the armament more effectively. Learn. And then wield it. Follow His perfect will and wield that battle axe. Pastor Andre, I'll pass it to you for the last words and comments at this time.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. I couldn't help but think of, as we started this conversation, the slogan from a famous pizza chain, it says, better ingredients, better pizza. But as we consider the ingredients that we put into this mix for being an overcomer, the better ingredients, the better the overcoming. And so I'm realizing, I think, and I'll speak for myself, I was really hit hard. I'm going to have to chew on Romans 12. Because I've never looked at that chapter in light of the necessary ingredients for enduring and persevering through perilous times. And so with that light and that context, it was, the whole chapter was illuminated to me in a different way. We talked about also, you know, not loving our lives unto the death in Revelations 12:11. That is another potent ingredient. And then just seeing Matthew 26, around verse 40 with Yeshua, going through the process he needed to in order to perfect himself and to get to the place where he was literally fulfilling the call of his life, even unto death. Every single ingredient that we've discussed today, I see its application. So I pray for not only myself and Rabbi John and all of you listening, that we truly do take heed of the ingredients that we're putting into our recipe for overcoming, because we will be given more than enough opportunities to test this recipe to see how we're doing. But there comes a point where it's either pass or fail, and we want to make sure that we are putting into practice the things that we know we ought to do, applying them. That is the essence of wisdom, is to apply the things that you know. We don't want to just be a bunch of people walking around with head knowledge. That's not the essence of who we as a congregation are, or who Rabbi or myself desire to be. And so I encourage everyone listening to really begin to apply in wisdom the things that you know are true and things that you know are right. And also, I'm going back to Genesis chapter 4 with mastering sin, and also with Romans 12:21, master evil with good. And so there's a lot to chew on. I pray that you all took good notes. If not, we can go back and listen to this again before next week. But we need to take this time now to begin to apply the wisdom, with wisdom, the things that we know to be true, so that we can be overcomers in this age. I want to thank you all for listening today to These Be Perilous Times. And we are glad, Rabbi and I are both glad, that you've taken time to engage, to listen, to desire, to search yourself, to see what inside of me needs to change as I go forward in this life. We encourage you to study these things, to be Bereans, to allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate scriptures for you so that he can make your calling and election sure, to make yourself sure in yourself, so that it's not just in your head, but it's in your heart. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter, or if you want to give us some feedback on today's discussion, feel free to email us at office@bethhashem.org. That's O-F-F-I-C-E at bethhashem.org. Beth Hashem is spelled B-E-T-H-H-A-S-H-E-M.org. Of course, you can find out more about us on our website, www.bethhashem.org, or you can look us up quickly on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you are feeling a desire to go deeper and to grow in your understanding of what we call the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, Zakkai University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic Apologetics and Biblical Jewish Studies. And we go in much deeper detail of things, even like what we discussed today, in our courses. So you can view our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. If you'd like to make a donation to this ministry, a love offering, if you will, you can make a contribution via Cash App. You can go to Cash App on your mobile device, www.cash, that's C-A-S-H, .app/$BethHashem. That's our tag on Cash App, $BethHashem. At this time, we'll close with our after Torah study blessing. And we do these blessings in a sense to bookmark and also to remind ourselves and to bless God, to refocus ourselves, to turn our hearts back to him before and after we engage in study. So at this time, we'll have Pastor Doug with our after Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chayei olam natah bikoteinu. Baruch atah Yehua noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehua, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yehua, dador de la Torah.
Amen. At this time, I will recite the Aaronic benediction as part of our close today. So blessings from Numbers chapter 6, given to the children of Israel, the people of God, to have him go before them, his name to be upon them, and to prosper their way. And so we sing this in faith, connecting with that. Yivarech Echa Yehuah Veyishmerecha Yair Yehuah Panavelecha Vichunecha Yisa Yehuah Panavelecha Ve'astem Lecha Shalom. May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Amen. And Father, we thank you and we glorify you for that peace. We hold stand fast and hold on to your shalom. Nothing broken and nothing missing, waiting for that day to come to pass. We glorify you and honor you, Father God, and allow you to have your way in our lives this day, in Yahushua's name. Amen, amen, and shalom, shalom.